Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. You know, I often throw in references to The Simpsons during my videos, and I've had people mention that they've caught those before, and I've also had some people say, what? And if you're not a big fan of The Simpsons, I'm sorry, you might want to just skip this video altogether. But I had several people ask me about The Simpsons, what are my favorite episodes, what kind of things do I think are funny about The Simpsons. And so if you like The Simpsons, or if you're curious about why I'm fascinated by The Simpsons, stick around, because what I'm going to do is I have the books of The Simpsons, and in fact, there was a complete guide The Simpsons put out, and they've since put out like three or four more updates to it, because it's a show that just keeps on going. And I'll be honest with you, I personally think The Simpsons hit their stride about five or six seasons in and really peaked the golden era between like seasons 5 and 10. There are some highlights in later episodes, but the really good stuff happened early as far as that goes, because I think they're, 29 or 30 seasons in, something crazy right now. And so, first of all, in case you don't know, The Simpsons started out with the episode... Well, they started out with shorts. They were actually short films done by the guys who created The Simpsons, but they were done as shorts that were in the Tracy Ullman show. And Tracy Ullman's show, of course, didn't last as long as The Simpsons, but it launched them, of course. And the early shorts are very, very primitive looking, but they contain some of the characters, and obviously many of the ideas were starting to percolate there. And they gradually, went into full-fledged program. So the very first episode that would be considered to be a full-blown episode of The Simpsons would be the episode called Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire. And a lot of times people don't even know what the titles of these shows are unless you actually read the credits on the TV guide or the guides that are on your cable channel. But in that episode, it's the one where they get Santa's Little Helper, which is the dog that the family's had. And, of course, the reason they get the dog is through a series of comedic happenings. Homer has no money to buy Christmas presents, and he scrapes up $13 and takes it to the dog track in an attempt to parlay it into more money. And, of course, loses it all by betting on Santa's Little Helper, which is the dog. And after they're walking out dejectedly from the dog track, they find out that the owner of the dog is so upset by this dog's losing streak, he's about to get rid of it. And so Homer gets the dog, Santa's Little Helper, which makes Bart happy. And of course, Lisa and family kind of go along with that. So that's where Santa's Little Helper comes from. Episode 7G08, for those of you who are following along. But you got to jump ways quite in for me to really get to the stuff I really, really like. Some of the characters, of course, are hilarious. Some of the things they said are memorable. For instance, Kent Brockman, who is the newscaster extraordinaire on The Simpsons. At one point in time, and I believe he's talking about when Camp Krusty gets taken over by Bart and the other campers, he turns to the camera and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I've been to Vietnam, Afghanistan, and Iraq, and I can say without hyperbole that this is a million times worse than all of them put together." So you gotta love Kent Brockman. There's also an episode a couple years later, first aired in 1993, for instance, where it's called Marge versus the Monorail. And the city of Springfield determines they've got a little bit too much money laying around, and they have to figure out a way to spend it. And, of course, a gentleman shows up and pitches them on the idea of a monorail. And the monorail, of course, is going to somehow save the city, despite the fact they didn't really need saving. They just had extra money to spend. And so when they build the monorail, of course... at one point in time, Homer, who somehow seems to get himself into all of these interesting situations, becomes the conductor of the monorail. And he's giving his family a tour of the space age cockpit of the monorail. And he opens up a cabinet in which there are some possums living. And one of them hisses at him. And Homer says quite proudly to his family, "I call the big one Bitey." So that's actually a line I think I've used a few times in my life, not specifically addressing possums, but merely addressing things that were seriously overestimated or underestimated by somebody. There, of course, is the episode where Homer goes into outer space, and while he's in outer space, Among other things, he manages to damage a science experiment, which is pretty much just an ant farm. And the ants and Homer and the potato chips he's trying to eat when he hit the ant farm are all floating around in zero gravity. And again, Kent Brockman cuts to the spacecraft to see what's going on. And all he sees is an ant floating really, really close to the lens. And Kent Brockman says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we've lost the picture, but what we've seen speaks for itself. The spacecraft has apparently been taken over, conquered, if you will, by a master race of giant space ants. It's difficult to tell from this vantage point whether they will consume the captive Earthmen or merely enslave them. One thing is for certain. There is no stopping them. The ants will soon be here. And I, for one, welcome our new insect overlords." Now, that little speech there has actually been written in response to several things I've posted both on YouTube and Jalopnik. And the I, for one, welcome our new insect overlords, or somebody else who's taking over, is often a very good way to phrase something. By the way, at one point in time, Bart Simpson makes some unauthorized long-distance phone calls to Australia, and partially inspired by, I think, his desire to discover whether it's actually true or not about the toilets flushing in the other direction. And at one point in time, he walks into the living room while Bart is while Homer's watching television, and he says, "Hey guys," referring to his family, "just so you don't hear any wild rumors, I'm being indicted for fraud in Australia." And of course, the Simpsons go to Australia, largely to answer the fraud charges that Bart is facing, because he talked a little boy down there into answering the phone and then going to check to see which way his toilet flushed. And unknown to Bart, the telephone was several miles away from the ranch because it was in the outback of Australia. Now, Homer Simpson, besides being a safety inspector at the Springfield nuclear power plant, also has managed to get himself into a bunch of other jobs. Like I said, he's an astronaut and so on. But while he's working at the plant one day, he discovered that some people had gone out on disability and were still being paid. And he found out that there were even jobs that if you were disabled, they would pay you to do your job, but they would make accommodations for you so that you could do the job while you're disabled. And the way Homer's brain works is that he's so lazy that he's thinking if he could become disabled and they could accommodate his disability, he could perhaps reach peak laziness. And so he gets out a book that lists potential disabilities that you could have to see if, in fact, he could come up with one. So there's carpal tunnel syndrome, of course. There's lumbar lung. There's juggler's despair. There's achy, breaky pelvis. And then he says, oh, wait, hyperobesity. All I've got to do is weigh 300 pounds and I could be qualified to be disabled. So the funny part there, of course, in my mind, is the achy, breaky pelvis and lumbar lung, which apparently, at least in Springfield, were considered to be disabilities for which they would have to accommodate you. Now, again, a lot of these episodes are so convoluted or they have several subplots in them that you can often forget which subplot has, you know, and what story these things came from. But there's the episode of Simpsons Lisa, the iconoclast, where she is convinced that the founder of Springfield, Jebediah Springfield, was actually not the man he was cracked up to be. And I believe that this is also the episode where they're discussing the language used in town. And one of the teachers says, you know, I never heard the word embiggen until I came to this town, because that was one of the sayings of Jebediah Springfield, was something about what embiggens a man. And the other teacher turns and says, why, it's a perfectly cromulent word. And now cromulent has actually entered the lexicon of many Americans as being acceptable or appropriate. So it's a perfectly cromulent word. But when Lisa appeared before the city council, the village council, she said, you know, I think we should go out and dig up Jebediah Springfield's coffin and take a look at his body, because there's a hint, there's a clue in there as to whether or not he's the real person we thought he was. And Homer says, I think we should dig him up. Dig up that corpse. If you really love Jebediah Springfield, you'll haul his bones out of the ground to prove my daughter wrong. Dig up his grave. And Quimby, Mayor Quimby, says, can't we have one meeting that doesn't end with us digging up a corpse? So Mayor Quimby, who's the corrupt politician with a funny Boston accent for some odd reason, often talks about, he makes asides and little references to just crazy illegalities and things going on. So, of course, there's the episode where Homer winds up somehow performing as a sideshow freak during Lollapalooza. And while there, he realizes that Grand Funk Railroad is playing on stage. And, of course, I'm saying that on purpose because Grand Funk is a band. Earlier, they were called Grand Funk Railroad. And when people are talking during the concert, Homer gets upset and he goes, excuse me, nobody knows the band Grand Funk? The wild, shirtless lyrics of Mark Farner? The bong-rattling bass of Mel Shocker? The competent drum work of Don Brewer? Oh, man. I just like to throw this in for my own benefit. But I worked in a radio in Flint for years, which is where Grand Funk is from. And along the way, I met two of the three members of Grand Funk, two of them who I just mentioned right there. Bart, after dark, talks about the time that Bart somehow managed to end up working at a local brothel. But at one point in time, the madam of the house goes by the Simpson place to talk to Bart's father, assuming that he would want to straighten out his son because Bart had been meddling around and trespassing on the property. And the woman walks up and knocks on the door of the Simpson house, and Homer answers the door, and he's wearing a paper sack instead of a pair of pants. And the woman says, your son was trespassing on my property and destroyed a very valuable stone gargoyle. And are you wearing a grocery bag? To which Homer responds, very, very confidently, by the way, I have misplaced my pants. Again, I've said this before. If you're going to say something remarkably stupid, if you say it with confidence, it might come off properly. Now, people say, Steve, what's your favorite episode? Your favorite episode of The Simpsons. And by the way, this also combines my favorite sentence in The Simpsons. And it all happens in episode 3F24, which broadcast on January 5th, 1997 for the first time. And among other things, Johnny Cash makes a cameo in this episode where he plays a coyote. And by that, he voices the coyote. And the episode's called The Mysterious Voyage of Homer. But it's in Spanish, I believe, at the top. And what happens is Homer, of course, goes to the Chili Cook-Off, which is held every year in Springfield. And at the Chili Cook-Off, he first embarrasses himself by eating some chili that's so hot that it causes him to panic and people are laughing at him, which, of course, is a major knock on his manhood because Homer likes to eat. So Homer goes back and he drinks all of the liquid candle meltings out of one of those candles that's on the table at a restaurant. And he goes back and he eats some of the chili to prove how tough he is. Now, here's the thing. The chili he's made, that he's going to eat, was made by Chief Wiggums, okay? And Chief Wiggum, Chief Wiggum makes the chili. And when Homer first approaches, he asks Chief Wiggum, what makes you think your chili is so hot? And Chief Wiggum is wearing a welder's mask, and he holds up a pepper with a pair of tongs, and the pepper's rattling like a rattlesnake. And here's the line. I've added an extra ingredient just for you. The merciless peppers of Quetzalcoatzinango, grown deep in the jungle primeval by the inmates of a Guatemalan insane asylum. So Homer, of course, eats the chili, which he can do now that he's coated his throat with wax, and he then hallucinates where he winds up out in the desert talking to a coyote voiced by Johnny Cash. Now, There's a couple other things. And what's really funny is in the book I've got here, which is put out by The Simpsons, they actually do talk about what they think the best lines are in every particular story. They give you the plot synopsis and all this. And what's funny is in Mountain of Madness, where Homer and Mr. Burns, his boss in the power plant, go snowmobiling and then get stranded in a cabin, just the two of them, where they both go kind of insane. There's actually a really funny line, which is not mentioned in the synopsis, which shows that even the people who create the show don't necessarily know which lines are the best, because there's so much good stuff in The Simpsons, right? So at one point in time, Mr. Burns, who is supposed to be like a multi-billionaire, who's got so much money that he doesn't know what to do with it, but he's also very, very greedy, okay? He's really greedy and really, really rich. And for a split second, him and Homer are sitting at a table together because they're all alone in this cabin. And they're having a little bit of a chat. And Burns lets his guard down just a little bit. And Homer says, you know, Mr. Burns, and this is, like I said, this is the line that's not in here. He goes, you know, Mr. Burns, you're the richest man I know. And Mr. Burns goes, yeah, but I'd trade it all for a little more. So that was from Mr. Burns. And then finally, and I'm running out of time, strangely enough. I honestly thought there's no way, but I'm running out of time. One of the best things they've done on The Simpsons was when Homer comes across a cartoon character that looks like him, but the cartoon character has got Japanese writing around it. And he discovers that the cartoon character that looks like him is actually the logo of a company in Japan that makes a detergent called Mr. Sparkle. And so there's a commercial for Mr. Sparkle that he gets his hands on the commercial. And the commercial is done so that it's translated in English. And Mr. Sparkle speaks to the camera and says, I'm disrespectful to dirt. Can you see I am serious? And then it flows away. And then it says, get out of my way, all of you. This is no place for loafers. Join me or die. Can you do any less? So that's the Mr. Sparkle commercial. And then, of course, the Simpsons spinoff Showcase came along. And then a little while later came the Clip Show special. So it's come to this. And I actually did a Leto's Law clip show, so it's come to this, which was a reference to The Simpsons. So those are some of my favorite jokes and comments from the early episodes of The Simpsons. And I'm sure you've got your favorites. Please put them below. And like I said, if you're a Simpsons fan, comment away. If you're not, I apologize. But you might want to check it out. There's a reason it's been on for so long. And it's usually because it has jokes that operate on several levels. And in fact, I didn't even mention my second favorite episode, which is Missionary Impossible, which is one where Homer becomes a missionary and goes to some like Polynesian islands because he's trying to escape the pledge drive people at PBS. And again, it's so convoluted I can't explain it to you, but I can tell you that at one point in time where Homer wants to get saved, he's, you know, from people who are chasing him, he yells, save me, Jeebus. J-E-B-U-S. And again, I actually read an interview with one of the writers of the show, and they said, what's your favorite joke of all time? And he said, the one where Homer's crying out for help and he doesn't even know how to pronounce Jesus. So that's The Simpsons. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.